you guys hear about the new D&D stuff that is potentially in the works?
The fucking Hasbro is always after money. It could, yeah. You could be referring to anything.
Okay, so did you hear anybody talking about the rumors about 6th edition?
They just came out with the 5.5. I doubt they're...
Right. There was like a recent like tweet or something from one of the CEOs of Hasbro that was basically, or when, I don't know, somebody important at Hasbro, somebody who does stuff, right? He made a reference to like second edition D&D and has gone on record saying that specifically like, I don't know, something of the Oriental is like his favorite expansion. And so people are theorizing that the big thing that they're going to do is kind of like a nostalgia bait new edition with like a bunch, like basically an updated version of this expansion as a celebration to get all of the like super nostalgic old nerds back into it because they're all pissed at new D&D. And you know what? I'm gonna be there. You bet your fucking ass, Hasbro.
You just
hey, D&D
you just,
shit, let's go.
You just said a whole bunch of things, but I will bet you $100 we do not get another core rule book in this year.
No, it's not gonna be like a core rule book. It's supposed to be like basically not like not even just like a set, like or like a pre-made campaign or anything like that. Like it's supposed to be like supplemental stuff to harken back to second
edition. I mean, they're always coming out with, they just came out with the new Artificer book. They're always coming out with new books that I'm not, you said sixth edition. That would suggest a new core rule book.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how the rumor started, was the sixth edition.
I guarantee. Yeah. They're going to come out with a new book because they're coming out with new books and it could be remaking an old adventure. I'll give you that, but
it's not,
not
just like an old adventure. It's like it's like they're
a continuation.
They're like it's a combination thing of like fifth edition and second edition, or like nostalgia back to the second edition stuff.
I don't
slightly updated second edition.
I don't.
But they're bringing back Thaco.
They're 1000% not. I mean, if people want to play second edition, they'll just play second edition. Nobody wants Thaco. What fucking
that's
crazy person
true.
Wants Thaco? Okay, that's because
Darian wants Thaco.
That's because you started playing under second edition and you think that like...
That's not true. My first like four games were fifth edition. My next game was third, actually 3.5. And it just, the second edition game was the best.
Yeah, well,
until recently. I take that back. Till
when
my
people
game.
Grow
no,
up
kidding.
In trauma, they get nostalgic for trauma, and that's you and Thaco.
Thaco's just math.
And
it's just math.
People aren't playing D&D.
I don't even
if
like
you want,
math, and I want Thaco.
Then go play Pathfinder.
Ew.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think I am?
Dweeb.
Well,
you know what? I don't think that there's going to be a better place to intro the topic and this podcast than what has just been presented. So welcome to Why Are We Doing This? A monthly podcast about talking about cool things with cool people. I'm Bryce, and I'm joined by the Thaco loving Darian.
That's me. I do love Thaco, even though I actually am terrible at it. My DM always had to tell me what my Thaco was.
And the person who probably has no idea what Thaco is, Beckers.
Nope. I don't.
And our special guest, hailing from the far north, it's Sarah.
Hello. That is me.
I love the high energy that everyone is bringing in this intro. Everyone's
it's nap time, man.
My mind was completely glazed over for this entire discussion of the different D&D editions because I've only ever played 5.
Valid.
Which is honestly weird and kind of brings us into our topic. You are the person who has been playing D&D the most of probably all of us lately.
Probably. I have 2 games I'm playing tomorrow.
But in
two
your defense,
separate games? Like yeah. Different groups?
Yes.
God, okay.
That's a lot of D&D.
Okay, and that brings us to our topic of how do you make friends as an adult? And I would like to start with, Beckers, how many people are going to be at your house tomorrow?
Just 5, besides, you know. Well, 4 besides me and my husband. One of the D&D groups is online.
Oh, okay. So you've got four actual humans coming, and then you're playing online mm-hmm. with other people.
Yep.
Would you consider these people that you're playing D&D with friends?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My closest friends. All of them.
I think she's punkiness.
I'm not.
No, D&D okay. brings you together.
It does, yeah. Everybody I've ever played D&D with, I've always been my close friends, but...
So, Beckers, how do you have so many friends? And how can we get friends? This is the question we have come together to answer. Do the friendless people want to talk about our history of being friendless first before we point the camera at Beckers? I will say I have grown up never really having friends because I was the loser in school. Every school's got to have one, and I lock that shit down.
Rough.
Yeah. I think it also helps that, like, I had 20 kids in my class, so it's like, you don't got a lot of options, and I just, you know, growing up with a dad who met his wife playing D&D, you kind of had that trajectory set coming in. We grew up before the internet. My house was, like, one of the first people to have the internet, to have, like, you know, personal computer stuff that, like, we were not normal. And in a way that, like, is super normal now. Like, everybody has computers, everyone has internet. But at the time, I would be like, oh, man, I'm playing this video game. And they're like, we don't associate with video games. That's weird. You're weird. Whoa. Darian's making shocked faces. Darian grew up much after me. Did you have a lot of friends growing up? What's it like being cool?
Now, I wouldn't say that I had a lot of friends growing up. But I had a group that... formed around me, I would say. I was not cool by any means. I was a self-appointed outcast. I was like, y'all just, I'm not cool. I am not a prep. That was how my brain thought. It wasn't great. It was very judgmental and shitty, but I'm not like that anymore.
I was gonna say, you design yourself as a self-appointed outcast seems very much like you.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, well, and so I hung out at the library like all the time. And was just like, I don't know. Honestly, I was pretty nice to people overall. I was just like, don't be fake. Don't be shitty to people. And if you are, don't hang out in this hallway because that's not what we're about. And people listen to me. I don't know why. I was just like, nah, we're cool. Having a fun time. Just like, school sucks enough. Let's not be shitty to each other at lunchtime. Let's not be shitty to each other while we're waiting to go to our miserable classes. Like, get the fuck out of here. So, yeah. And honestly, I think probably reflecting on it now, probably I just flocked all the neurodivergent folk to me, to be honest. That's probably what happened.
But what about now? That was all about school.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't really have adult friends that much. Yeah. I work and have college full time. I don't really have time for friendships. Yeah. I've almost consistently always had like one best friend growing up. And for a long time, that was the same person. But that's kind of shifted over time. And I mean, I do still have like one good friend that lasted from high school.
Oh,
I didn't know you in high school. But like, well, she's going to be in my wedding and stuff. So like... Yeah, that's valid. But it's also one of those super low maintenance friendships that like we text each other on holidays and see each other maybe once or twice a year because we're both very busy adults.
You have also moved to a new location lately. So you actually like probably don't have many people in your location that you are familiar with.
Yeah, nope, just my coworkers and David's family.
Those don't count as friends.
No, yeah.
Unless you're like really close with your coworkers, but
no.
Sarah, what's your friendship life like?
Well, I was very much so a band geek in school. So,
what did you play?
I played clarinet. I was also in jazz
band. Shut up.
Yeah, I got my clarinet down here.
Tucked
away.
I have my clarinet behind
me. Ready
to
go at a moment's notice.
Ready to go. I also played guitar and jazz band and stuff. That's so sick. So I was very much a band geek, but I also did wrestling stats. And so, you know, on wrestling trips, I'd be there. So I was friends with the guys and the other girls and everything like that. And, you know, I was very much so one of them emo kids, one of them punk rockers, skater kids. So I had a group of friends, but I was never like super close. But I've always had, all through high school and even into my adult years, I still have about the same five friends that I had back then. I don't have any new friends. I don't like bringing in new friends. Nothing against you guys or anything, but like in my real life, in my real life, I'm very much so. I have my small handful of friends that have been my tried and true, that I play D&D with, that I shoot the shit with, that we go to movies with and stuff. And those are my homies. So
she is setting up boundaries right now of like, no matter how this podcast goes, that we're not friends.
No, incorrect. It's like I've got my online friends and then I have my real life friends. And I would consider this very much so a blossoming online friendship here.
Hell yeah.
Can I ask Beckers and Darian? We have existed in a weird in between where I had originally met you both in person, but we live just far enough away that we like don't really interact in person much. And then Darian moved even farther away. Do you consider me your real life friend or your online friend?
I consider you my real life friend.
I was going to say probably more so online, because 90% of our interactions are online.
That's valid. I feel like the boundary.
I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I was going to say, I feel like my real life friends, 90%, I see them in person. And it's very different.
Yeah.
That's valid. And I think, honestly, that's probably why I do put them up there. Because, like, yeah, we were making content and stuff. Like, sure. But, like, we also travel together. And I wouldn't say that I travel with, like, all of my online friends. A couple of them have graduated to real life friends from online friends type thing. And I would say some of my old coworkers did too, actually, reflecting on that. Like, I have a few friends that our primary interaction was at work before, but like we still maintain contact. So,
yeah, honestly, I think that work is probably a likely place to meet friends. But that all comes down to what kind of job you have and who's working there.
I have one work bestie and she's just a couple years. Actually, she's like 4 years younger than me, but all my other coworkers in the past have always been, you know, 8 to 15 years older. And it's like, I'm not going to hang out with you boomers. Yeah. Sorry. You know, I'm still in my youth to an extent, you know. But I get along more with what I consider her, my work bestie, because we still message outside of work. We still hang outside of work and everything. Yeah. So. Yep.
Yeah, I had a friend before I was a delivery driver. I had somebody who I worked in the warehouse with, who we met at work, and then we ended up hanging out, or we'd go to movies and stuff. But then she moved away. That was probably the only like person I've met at work that became like an outside friend. For the most part, I've had jobs or that didn't really like make sense to be like friends with, or maybe I was just a loser and they were like, I'm not hanging out with you.
Yeah. Nah. Maybe, who knows, they probably thought you were weird.
Yeah, they were like, this guy. And my current work, like, everyone is either older or just weird. I probably have talked about this, but I've had my boss be like, oh, I hear you play video games, and I'm just like, why is that like something that you hear? Like, it should just, the fact that you consider that a weird thing and want to like talk about that is shows the gap of like,
my boss did that to me once. His son was still in junior high school. He's like, oh, you're really good at video games, aren't you, Sarah? I'm like, I'm okay. Kind of depends on the video game. He's like, well, my son's really into Rocket League. I'm like, I don't play Rocket League. Yeah. I'm sorry. I have friends that play Rocket League and I will watch it, but he's asking me all these questions. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like,
That is always the weird thing of like when a stranger kind of, or someone who you're not like really familiar with, like a boss or something, is like, hey, I hear you play video games. They're wanting to talk about a specific game. Like, I could tell that my boss wanted to, like, I was like, you want to talk about Call of Duty? Or it's like, he's like, oh, have you heard of this one game? And I'm like, I've heard of it. I've never played it. I'm like, yeah. I could tell he's looking for a specific thing.
There's a lot of video games out there.
Yeah.
We play Fast Food Simulator here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We don't play Call of
Duty.
That one
rocks. We really need to get back in there. I can hear the fryers calling for me.
Yeah. Do you guys want to do that in like now?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Can we transition?
We need to get all 5-6 of us together to fill the restaurant because of what you've done.
Okay, so Jazz. And then we got Sarah.
Just be like, you, welcome, you're
me,
part of the restaurant
and Beckers.
Now
we just need to get either Miranda or Aaron to play with us, or
Flipsenbergs.
Matt or Teddy.
Well, yeah, we could discuss this later.
Any of the last geeks in here.
That somewhat brings, honestly, the reason I have made friends is I started making content, and I found maybe the greatest way to get people to want to hang out is by inviting them to do a thing consistently. Like, it is a deal of like, hey, inviting someone to a D&D campaign of like, suddenly like someone be like, oh yeah, that sounds fun, and then you're just hanging out with that person often enough, and then you're like, hey, this person knows that like my mom has cancer and stuff, of just like this person I do stuff with. And I literally met Beckers and Darian at a video game convention at like a streamer meetup, and I was like, hey, do you want to do a podcast with me? You guys seem cool. And they both said yes, and now we go on trips and are going, I bought them My Chemical Romance tickets. And
hell yeah.
Beckers is doing a shaking her head of like, why is he like this? So yeah, it is a deal of like, I think being the person who organizes things does make it easier to, like, if you're doing interesting things, people will want to be part of that. If you reach out and say, like, I literally had a fucking coworker who wouldn't, like, honestly, he like razzes me most of the time. He's nothing like me. But at one point, he like asked to be on my pod. He knows that podcast. He's like, hey, when are you gonna let me be on your podcast? And I'm like, ooh. I like laughed. And he's like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, I didn't follow up because I'm like, that would not make sense. You are not that, a person who would be on the podcast. Yeah. But it's just like,
hate that for you.
Yeah. Oh, it was a bad, bad time when work found out about my YouTube channel.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. Mine was opposite. Some of my coworkers found out that we make content and have been very like, can I see that? Can I? And I'm like, I'm so honored and I'm just grateful that they look at it. I'm like, yeah, sure, here you go. Even if you're like making fun of me behind my back, I don't care. Go for it. As long as you're watching, I guess. If you're enjoying it in some capacity, you're going to watch it, right? So I don't know. Really supportive.
Yeah, these people, I didn't want to know that existed.
That's rough.
Yeah.
But. Sorry. I really like my coworkers, so.
Yeah, you probably don't work with a lot of boomers, so.
No, almost all of my coworkers are younger than me by a good amount.
Yeah, see, that's what makes it easy. Beckers, what's your friendship life been like throughout the years?
So I didn't really like have like a ton of friends in high school. I mean, I was like a choir person, so I was friends with the choir people, but I didn't keep the majority of those friendships. I feel like what I have to say isn't going to be that helpful because, first, one of my closest friends has been my best friend since we were like 2 years old. So a lot of my friends come from her and her husband. Like, so that's like, boom, people right there. And
so,
then,
okay. So your first advice is get a popular person to be your friend.
No, I wouldn't say that. Because most of the time, it's not her friends that are there. Because then that would have worked for you.
except we're online friends, not real life friends. So.
Oh my god!
Oh no! He's not gonna let you that down.
Oh no! I asked Beckers off podcast once on a scale of 1 to 10 what she would rate our friendship. She's the only person who refuses to rate our friendship.
Oh no!
Did I say 7 or 8? Mine was up there.
I think it was probably. You probably did say 7 or 8.
I refuse to even think about it.
Why do you want to know? This is a trap.
No good can come from that question. Like, there's no point. I'm not even going to consider what it would be. I'm not even going to think about it. So anyway, one of those friendships has been from like basically since birth because she lived across the street and that was it. And then some of my other friendships are two of my other closest people that I know are both coworkers of mine that are married and they work at the same place with me. And that right there is our D&D group that's playing tomorrow night is those three couples. So I would say that actually beyond that, the people that I invite to things, like I have all these parties at my house and I play Blood on the Clock Tower and we have like 16 people there, all that. Probably 70% of those people are all my coworkers that I just really enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah. I really like my coworkers. And if you can get like, I don't know, six coworkers to come, most of them have like at my age, a lot of them have spouses. And the place that I work requires a doctorate to work my job. So no one there, most people are old enough that they have a spouse or a boyfriend or whatever, because they're just like a little bit later in life.
Wow. You're so old.
I'm kind of like riding the sweet spot of like once they get a little too old, they all have kids.
and then you're dead to me.
And then they're dead to me. And then we never hang out ever again. That's not true. I do have a couple people from work I'm very fond of, and they're on their second kid, and they still come to things. So,
but they're on the cusp. You're like,
one more kid, and it's out of here.
Yeah, she's pregnant with number two. And I feel like once the second one is born, she's not going to want to come to anything anymore.
She's not going to have any time.
She's already tired. They already leave by 9 o'clock.
They're doing their best, but yeah, especially when the kids are young, they're going to have a rough
time. And I'm like, it's unfortunate, but they'll probably stop coming to stuff soon.
Just give them a couple years.
So I feel like the best advice that I can impart is like, these people were all coworkers, right? And the way that I made real friends was you have to be the brave one and invite these people that you don't really know out to do things. And that was something I never did before, basically before this job. Because everywhere I've ever worked, I've really liked my coworkers. I just bond. I don't know. I don't know if I just like, you spend a lot of time around them, right? You get to know them. And I feel like once you get to know most people, you end up liking them for the most part. I don't know. That's my optimistic view of the world. So I get to know these people. I really like them, but I never like was like, hey, do you want to go out and do something? And I feel like that's a big leap to learn how to make. Yeah. And I didn't really learn how to make that leap until I started this job. And I met these two people that I work with that I really, really like. And I got to know them. And they were like, do you guys want to like go play a board game sometime? And we were like, I was like, yeah, we'd do that. And then I was like, that was really easy. Like, why don't I just ask people if they want to go do this thing? And then if they want to, they'll do it, you know?
Yeah.
And then like, some people, I've asked them a couple times, like, oh, do you want to, I'm having some people over, we're going to play this game. Do you want to come do that? And then they'll be like, oh, I'll think about it. And they don't come. Oh, and you invite them a couple times. And if they don't come, I'm like, okay, I got it. I will not invite you anymore unless you want to, but they can invite next time.
You get like two strikes.
You get a couple strikes, whatever. Because sometimes people are actually busy, but I feel like you learn. Usually if they are actually busy and they really wanted to come, they make that clear. They're like, oh, I really want to come. Invite me next time, though, because I wanted to come, you know? Like, they make it clear that they did want to do things. They just couldn't this time. Whereas other people are like, oh, maybe I'll come, and they don't. And it's like, okay, well, they didn't want to that bad, you know? I feel like that's making friendships. You just have to take the leap. And I've had multiple people that I've invited to things and they've said no. And you know how I feel about it? I actually don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Like, I feel like they don't want to be my friend and I'm okay with that fully, because now I'm at a point where I have so many friends that I'm like, I guess I don't really care if they say no. I wasn't like that invested in making this friendship. So
yeah. You just like, if I can get another person to play Blood on the Clock Tower, sweet. But otherwise, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I've invited them to things where it's like, oh, like on New Year's, we did a murder mystery party. And it's like, well, I needed a certain number of people for that. And I'm kind of like shotgun method to everybody who I think may come that I don't know. Yeah, but if they say no, it's not that big of a deal, you know? And then once you get the hint that they're not super interested in this friendship, you just kind of like move on with your life.
Honestly,
try someone else.
That is the, like, I think you kind of have a good deal of like have an activity that you want to do, and then just because it's like you can't really go like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? You literally have to be like, do you want to play board games? Do you want to come to this like murder mystery thing? Like have an activity that you're doing. Say, do you want to come hang out? And then they show up at your house. That's step one of like, hey, you're in my house. We're already kind of building a relationship.
It also super helps. Like, definitely don't go for like a one-on-one hangout, because I feel like if you don't know someone that well, that's very intimidating. I wouldn't even want to do that if anybody asked me to do that. Even if I wanted to be their friend, I'm not ready to be a one-on-one friend. You know, that takes a while to get to that point. So usually I'm like, hey, I'm inviting these two people that you also know that I'm already friends with, and I think you like them too. Do you want to come with all of us and we'll all go play pickleball? You know, like there will be six of us and we'll kind of rotate through, and then it won't be so intimidating. But you'll also get to know us better.
It also is like less intimidating because it's a thing of like, if you can't make it, you're not ruining the event. You could say like, yeah, I can be there, and you know that like, oh, this isn't entirely depending on me.
Yeah. Group hangs are good, and I think that part of that is super nice if you have a spouse and they have a spouse,
yeah,
then it becomes a lot easier. Yeah.
At what point do those coworkers go from acquaintances to the friendship? Because to me, I feel like friendship is very sacred. Those are the people I'm going to be able to tell secrets to. Those are the ones I'm going to share life events with. I don't want to just share random or life events with people that I work with that I'm friendly with, but I don't want them knowing my whole life story. You know, so when does that barrier or that wall cross, I guess, for you?
It's like a spectrum, because like there's people that I'm totally absolutely super close with them now, and I would tell them things and embarrassing things, and we have a great time or whatever, and I share secrets. But there's people who I invite to things and I enjoy hanging out with them, but I do not want them to like, I don't really feel the need to advance that friendship further. Right. And I guess the difference for me is like, I invite these people to group hangs, but then when the group gets smaller and smaller, those are the people that I trim off first.
Yeah. Okay.
And then once I like, I don't know, I guess I just feel it. Like, I hang out with these people and I'm like, nothing has happened to where I'm like, eh, about you, you know? I'm like, I'm just feeling more and more fond of you as time goes on. And I'm like, I just want to spend more time specifically with these people. I'm fond of them. I adore them. I respect them. I think they're funny. Like, then it's like, hey, did just the two of you that want to come with the two of us? And I think that's really nice. One time we invited a couple of people we super enjoyed on a group vacation, and it was just two couples, and it was, I mean, fairly intimate, I guess. If you're going on like a 2-week vacation with two other people, it's like, I mean, I feel like that really advanced our friendship, because like, if you're going on a trip, it's not you do the activity and then you go home.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing all the downtime together too.
Yep.
And I think that really advances to another level of friendship.
I feel like a trip can make or break a friendship. I had someone that I was like casual hang with, and then I was like, hey, I want to go to this concert in Chicago. Do you want to come? She came with me. I had a bad time with her. I stopped hanging out with her. I was like, this killed the friendship. We no longer saw each other.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But then if it goes well, it's just like, okay, cool. Like, we have these bonds. Like we have gone on trips together and we have those moments. I mean, we literally can like look back on the vlogs and go like, look at this fun shit we did. But yeah, I think a trip is such a big like milestone to be able to like risk that, because it is a thing of like, you are, for however long that trip is, you're kind of stuck with this person in whatever
then
capacity.
Then you're spending downtime together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially if you're sharing housing, that it's a whole thing.
Hey, you know what? I've learned so much about Bryce that I respect and maybe not always agree with, but you know what? I can tolerate it, because there are so many more beneficial things to being a friend with Bryce
and getting annoyed at the weird little things.
Darren just like, his cons aren't that bad that way. The pros,
they're just funny to reflect on sometimes.
Yeah,
it's still delightful.
He doesn't eat anything. He eats pizza and hamburgers. That's it.
It's so fun to go out to eat with him.
I understand the person I am, and I am like, hey, I know you guys are in Seattle and you want to go eat a bunch of seafood. Go eat the seafood. I'm going to go take a nap. I'm not
a seafood person.
Well,
that's fine. It's just so interesting. See, the people you meet, everybody's got things.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bryce doesn't eat anything.
Bryce has a very, very particular palate. And
like the palate of a 5-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He'll probably eat dino nuggies.
I am a super taster. He's got a sensitive mouth. Yes. We've decided that I am a super taster. And yeah. I can just taste things better than y'all.
Bryce liked more flavors, he'd probably be like a phenomenal sommelier or like craft beer person, coffee person. Like there's a bunch of different things where like you just have to be tolerant of flavors. Yeah. But sensitive to them for sure.
I have the problem where I'll order food plain, like I'll order a burger from McDouble from McDonald's, and I will be like, at some point, like onions taste were on this burger. They cleared it, it wasn't made fresh. Yeah, I can taste the aroma. Or like, I'll order a pizza and I'll be like, the person who was making this also touched some ingredients that they were not supposed to, because I could taste a little hint of stuff.
Wow.
Okay, but like, I see you there because I also have a very sensitive palate, and I also just like, there are some days where I can just like, whatever, grin and bear it, get through it. But there are some days where I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to like go to Taco Bell and get my safe food. Like, I don't like... I get it. I'm not trying to razz you. I'm also picky. I'm just a different kind of picky.
I'm of the deal of like, I know that I like specific foods, and I'll try, like when I'm kind of also the trip planner. And so I try and find some place that are like, this will have really like fancy shit for you guys, but they'll also serve a burger. I might have to pay $30 for a plain burger, but I can get it. That's the problem with being like a plain eater. They always charge you for all the fixins. They don't reduce the price even though they're taking all the stuff off. I'm paying for everything, but you know, that's, I don't want the fixins anywhere near my stuff. So it's like, I try and be, I know I'm the weird one, try and be considerate.
Is it literally just like a patty, cheese, and bun?
It's mean that's cheese. It? Mean it's cheese.
Just for you, nothing else?
Yeah. Whatever. I do that with tacos. I do that with all the stuff. I do like pepperoni. Pizza's nice because the standard is pepperoni pizza. I'll eat pepperoni pizza. And
that's almost too spicy for you though.
I have had spicy pepperoni pizza. Like I'll eat Domino's pepperoni pizza. I have had spicy pepperoni pizza and I'm like, this isn't for me. Can't handle that.
I don't do spicy either.
I love spicy. I love Chinese food.
I can't really do spicy. But it's not by my choice. I like how it tastes, I have a physiological reaction to it. That's unpleasant. I have snot streaming down my face. I think
that's everybody. That's when you know it's good. It's when you're just sweating and crying.
Well, here's the thing. Is like if mild buffalo wings do that to you.
Oh, yeah, no.
See, we all have our like weirdness. Mine is just like something people are able to notice more. Because we were talking about like at one point we're like, the last gig people were taking autistic tests, and we learned that Becker's like doesn't like the feel of certain like clothing.
Sensing. That,
clothes yeah. are my biggest tism.
Yeah, so it's a deal of like, oh, I you know, that stuff's fine for me, and it's like, well, you wouldn't really notice hers because how often would that come up?
I won't hug my husband when he's wearing most of his shirts because they're like part polyester and I don't like how it feels.
That's fair.
Oh, that's fair. But
I mean, that's fair.
Wow. Wait, your food thing is fair too, Bryce. I'm not dragging you. I genuinely appreciate and enjoy that part of you. I'm not being sarcastic. I swear.
I think it's funny.
one of the first times we did hang out, you did kind of get pissy at me because of my...
I was a different person than Bryce.
I think it's fair. It's not like you make us only eat pizza and burgers, too.
Yeah.
You just, sometimes you have a different meal from the rest of us, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'll just get takeout or something from someplace else, and I'll...
really funny watching you eat with somebody who's never eaten with you before as well, because I just like to see how other people respond to
it, too. Every time, like, it is every time that it is like, hey, I only like this specific thing, and then there's kind of that discussion of like, well, what specific, can you eat this? Can you? I'm like, I just give me a burger. Give me like, it's not that complicated to know what foods I'll, you know, I like fry. I like a lot of like classic Americana like food. Just don't put lettuce, tomato, onions. Just give me a plainish burger. I like meat and cheese.
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
All right.
Friendship. It is a deal of like, honestly, that is a good watermark of if I'm hanging out with someone, and based on how shitty they are about that will determine like, do I want to talk to you again? I have had people who I'm like, well, you're not someone I enjoy because of they react badly to that.
Yeah.
Darren's just feeling really bad for the time that she was shitty to me about it.
I don't remember the specifics, but I also don't doubt it.
What's funny is it was for the vlog we made. We went to like an Irish pub because you were trying to go to like a Chinese place or something, and you were like, oh, I wanted to go to this place, but we went to a place that served a burger.
In PAX?
No, this is Sioux Falls.
You're making me want jail beers really bad right now because you've been talking about burgers.
Yeah.
There are so many places that have great food that jail beers, I love that place. They have so many good burgers.
I love putting peanut butter on my burger. It's so good.
That's one thing I could never try. Okay. Peanut butter on my burger.
Ugh. You think that, but you should try it just because Jail Beers has, I think it's honestly 80%. 80% of the time, it's just because their peanut butter is so good. Like, there's a reason this random burger ground place will sell you like their peanut butter.
I don't like peanut butter. So that's kind of like a.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's valid.
I mean, it's not like I adore peanut butter, but their peanut butter I do adore.
Oh, wow.
Also honey roasted peanuts.
Is it thick or is it runny?
It's crunchy. Oh. It's literally fresh ground. Sometimes their machine is down, so they have to like pre-grind a bunch of it. So it might not be like fresh ground, but like it was just nuts that was ground into peanut butter.
It's kind of sweet.
Within a short time.
Yeah, and the flavor is just like really good. I don't know. It does not taste like out of a
I never signed an NDA.
I'm
not giving away all of the secrets, but I've got some of them.
I'll tell you what it's in any. Give me a food. I'll tell you what's in it.
I probably still could recite that entire menu. I worked there for 7 years.
Oh yeah.
Let's not. I don't think that's good content.
I like I like the Humpty Dumpty burger with peanut butter.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Have you ever added
no just
bacon
Humpty Dumpty sans peanut butter? That's
bacon. Out, yeah. I feel like the peanut butter is enough.
Adding
bacon
used to
as well.
Yeah. Ooh, I liked to do Humpty Dumpty, add bacon, sub chicken, add peanut butter.
What?
But it has to be the chicken breast. There was a little while where they had like chicken patties or something, and I would not fuck with that. But if they have real chicken breasts, that's pretty fire.
Chicken boobs only.
Yeah.
One of my New Year's resolutions is to make a new friend. I did do it last year. I had make a new friend last year, and I had easy. The nice thing about having that on my bingo card is like everything on my bingo card. I, for people who don't know, instead of like a New Year's resolution, we do bingo cards in my house where it's like a 5x5 grid where we have a bunch of like small resolutions. And so you're just trying to like get lines instead of just going like, I'm going to, you know, lose weight. I'm going to, you know, not eat blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, I can't pull off that resolution. It's fine. I'm going to focus on the ones I can get a line on. It makes it less like defeatist about your resolutions, because if you mess up, it's fine. I've got 24 other things I'm shooting for. One of them I have make a new friend. Probably the hardest resolution And last year I got super lucky because someone towards the beginning of the year posted on Facebook, like one of the Facebook marketplace deals, and said, "Hey, I'm moving to town. Just wanted to introduce myself." And I messaged that person and be like, "Hey, do you want friends when you move to town? I could be a friend." And we ended up hanging out and stuff. But then like halfway through the year, she's like, "Hey, I got a job somewhere else. So I'm going to move away now." And I was like, "Oh, cool. It was nice hanging out with you." So I gained and lost that friend immediately. And I'm like, okay, we're going to try this again. New friend, new year. And I doubt I could get that lucky again where someone's just going to like appear on Facebook.
You got to keep looking, man.
Yeah. You got to have your eyes out for opportunities. Assuming your workplace is not a good venue, what other places do you think could be a place to find friends?
Festivals. I will say I've made a few friends there.
Yeah, you go to a lot of festivals. Have you made a lot of friends there?
I wouldn't say a lot. And
I wouldn't say friends. I wouldn't say
I would argue acquaintances. Yeah, actually, kind of technically all of that. I feel like David's the one that makes friends. I go to festivals and I'm just like, yeah, I'm on vacation, which means I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. And I work a job where I talk to people literally all day. So I
is this why you don't talk to me
out
on trips?
Bryce, probably. Because I just talk all the time at work.
See, that's how I am. It's like I talk all day long at work and I get home and I don't want to talk. And like, and sometimes even when I'm like prepping for stream, I'm like, oh, I just talked to so many people at work today. Now I got to talk to people on the internet and talk to myself for 3-4 hours. It takes a lot. It's really draining.
I'm glad I've recruited you to make content, Darian. It's, you know, that doesn't involve any talking.
Listen, it's different when it's like for a purpose, right? That's also kind of why I don't stream anymore, right? One day I'll get back to that because I won't have to keep working this job forever. But like, I just don't have the energy for it right now. Yeah. Not with school and work. That's just, I would be a shitty streamer right now. But content in a like scheduled format like this is a little better. Like, obviously, we've been interacting this whole time.
It's been awful.
Oh. I will.
Just kidding.
It is the only way I have made new friends as an adult has literally been like, "Hey, do you want to come be on my podcast?"
That's why he keeps doing it.
I don't know why I can't just keep doing it.
It's called networking. It's all good.
Yeah, it is.
Here's what you have to do. If you have exhausted your... Okay, so here's the formula for making a friend. You, in your daily life, if you see the same people again and again, you take the leap and you ask them, "Do you want to go do this activity?" You have to have an activity. It's kind of weird if you don't. And try to make it like not one-on-one because that's kind of too much. So like maybe like... ask two other people, "Hey, do the three of us want to go do this thing? We can go have some beers after work or whatever," you know, something. If you don't have anybody in your life that you want to do that with, the next thing you do is you go do something related to a hobby. For example, you go to like a card place and you play Magic there or whatever, Pokemon. Some sort of card thing. I don't know. And then other hobbies, you can join the Pickleball Association. You go play pickleball with strangers and then it's normal. But then you're meeting new people and you already have a hobby in common. And eventually you pick the people out from these places that you're interested in that are nice and you enjoy them. You think they're funny, whatever. Then you're like, "Hey, do you want to go do this other thing? There's a video game bar. I'm going with, you know, Derek at table 3. And Lizzie at table 4, do you guys want to go check it out? Because I've been wanting to check it out." And that's how you make friends. Done.
And that's, it's that easy, folks.
It's that easy.
Becker's has the recipe.
What about when there's anxiety involved?
Yeah, then it's hard. See, I used to have anxiety.
Excellent.
And when I had, okay, I still have anxiety about other things, but not so much social anxiety anymore. Because here's, you fail and nothing happens. That's the thing. And you learn that, oh, it didn't really matter that they didn't want to be my friend. My life goes on because they already weren't, right? So, like, who cares?
Now, what about rejection sensitivity dysphoria?
Just get rejected enough. get rejected enough that it's okay. I will say that, like, Becker's is the, like, it's like, as someone who could not find, talk to women, like, could not get a girlfriend, it's way easier to talk to a girl, women, when you have a girlfriend, because what's the matter? I already got a girlfriend, what, I can talk to women. But when you don't have a girlfriend and you're just like, I hope this girl doesn't run away from me, it's like, well, it's fine, I'll go hang out with my girlfriend after. So it's like, if you have 20 friends, what's it matter if one of them, like, your 21st person says, I'm not interested?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess always kind of be on the lookout too, because, like, now since my mindset has changed, which has only been in the last few years, since my mindset has changed, now whenever I meet someone new, I'm evaluating them already.
She's marking them off already.
Is this someone who can come to my murder mystery parties or my Blood on the Clock Tower events? And I'm scoping them out already. Anytime someone new starts at work, I'm already on them.
I got five questions.
Now I'm wondering, like, if I just got to Becker's, like, early enough that her bar hasn't risen enough, that I'm like, did I squeak under while her standards were low? Well, it is that easy to make friends, just like we all made great friendships today on this podcast. And if you want to learn more about us on the internet, we can give you our socials, probably just Sarah, because the rest of us don't exist on the internet. But Sarah, as our special guest, do you want to tell people where people can find you?
Yeah, I am on twitch.tv/wristrave, and that's RYSTRAVE, or on Twitter at the same handle. And I'm usually streaming Wednesdays through Saturdays, as long as real life permits me to.
That dang real life.
That, well, dang real life.
We'll end this podcast, as we always do, with, remember, podcasting is cheaper than therapy. I said that the first episode and then forgot that was going to be our tagline, and now it's back. I've brought it back. Okay, bye!
Bye!
Bye! Bye. Bye.